This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition of our Bulletin of Church News, Pope Leo XIV calls on bishops to be men of communion and witness of hope. That will be followed by a panorama of news, tidbits from and around Africa. Before we bring you our feature of health and healing, today we shall close with our segment dedicated to the Jubilee Year of Hope. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kambamba. Pope Leo XIV on Wednesday held his midweek general audience in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican. In his continuing catechesis on the Jubilee theme of Christ, our hope, the Holy Father reflected on the scripture readings of the day, taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. The passage tells of two intertwining miraculous stories. In the first, the focus was on a woman suffering from an illness that had led her to be shunned by society as unclean. In the second miracle, Jesus responds to the faith-filled plea of a distressed father and raises a young girl from the dead. These two gospel accounts, the Pope explained, teach us to be courageous and tend to Jesus in prayer and entrust ourselves to the healing power of his love, which Pope Leo said can transform apparently hopeless situations and even bring life out of death. Deborah Lubav tells us more.
Even if in life there are moments of disappointment, discouragement, and even death, let us go to Jesus, for he can heal us, he can revive us, for Jesus is our hope.
These two gospel accounts teach us to be unafraid to turn to Jesus in prayer and to entrust ourselves to the healing power of his love.
The first miracle recounted in the Gospel according to St. Mark involves a woman who, after suffering from an illness that led her to be shunned by society as unclean, trusts that Jesus has the power to heal her. Thus, she reaches out to touch him amid the crowd, and because of her faith, Jesus heals her and says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Which can transform apparently hopeless situations and even bring life out of death.
In the second miracle, St. Mark recounts, Jesus raises a young girl from the dead, responding to the faith-filled plea of a distressed father who had received that his daughter had died. Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid, only have faith," and goes to the man's house and, seeing everyone crying and wailing, says, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." The two episodes Pope Leo XIV suggests and reveal that when we turn to the Lord with faith and trust, nothing is beyond his capabilities. The Holy Father reflected on each miracle, underscoring how they did not allow anything to get in the way of their faith in God to resolve their dire situations. Sometimes, the Pope marveled, we are unaware of it, but in a secret and real way, grace reaches us and slowly transforms our lives from within. Oftentimes, the Holy Father suggested many are slow to catch on. Perhaps today, too, he said, many people approach Jesus in a superficial way without truly believing in his power. We walk the surfaces of our churches, but maybe our heart is elsewhere. These two gospel accounts, the Holy Father marveled, show that nothing is too great for Jesus to heal, and that we are to go to him, for he will make us new.
Whenever we reach out to the Lord in faith, he in turn touches us.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
As has become customary, the Holy Father, following his catechesis delivered in Italian, summarized his teaching in various languages, after which he addressed special greetings to all the faithful present, including those coming from Malta, Eswatini, Ghana, Kenya, South Africa, Australia, China, India, Indonesia, the Philippines, South Africa, and the United States of America. Pope Leo then prayed for the victims of last Sunday's terrorist attack against the Greek Orthodox community in the Church of Mar Elias in the Syrian city of Damascus, following which he invited the international community not to ignore Syria. He then made a fresh appeal for peace, even as he made a reference to the ongoing conflicts in Iran, Israel, and Palestine. Claudia Torres has this report.
In his appeals to close the audience, the Pope remembered the vile terrorist attack on the Mar Elias Church in Damascus, Syria, which took place on June 22nd. He entrusted the victims to God's mercy and offered his continued prayers for those who were wounded and their families. Turning to all Christians in the Middle East, the Pope expressed his solidarity with them. I am close to you, and the whole church stands with you.
Ai cristiani del Medio Oriente dico, vi sono vicino, tutta la Chiesa vi è vicina.
He argued, this recent attack highlights the deep fragility that Syria continues to live through after years of instability and violence. Pope Leo called on the international community to not turn its gaze away from this country. Rather, he continued, it must offer support through acts of solidarity and a renewed commitment to peace and reconciliation. The Pope also shared that he continues to closely follow the situation in Iran, Israel, and Palestine. He once again called for an end to violence and reiterated the need for peace, referencing the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Pope Leo expressed his desire that this voice ring out and that the wounds caused by the bloody events of recent days be healed.
Si ascolti questa voce che viene dall'Altissimo, si curino le lacerazioni provocate dalle sanguinose azioni degli ultimi giorni.
Before closing his remarks, he pushed for the rejection of domination and revenge. Instead, he encouraged everyone to choose the path of dialogue, diplomacy, and peace. I'm Claudia Torres.
Soon after the general audience, Pope Leo XIV welcomed to the Vatican a representative delegation of the bishops from all over the world who are in Rome to celebrate the Jubilee for Bishops. During their encounter, the Holy Father gave a meditation on the life of a bishop whom he said must be a man of communion and a witness to hope. Pope Leo XIV has appointed new members to the Vatican Dicastery for Institutes for Consecrated Life and the Societies of Apostolic Life. They include 5 ministering in Africa, of whom 2 are archbishops, 2 are bishops, and 1 is a priest in charge of a society of missionaries. These latest appointments were published on Tuesday, June 24th, by the Holy See Press Office. The names of the African appointees are Cristobal Cardinal Lopez Romero of the Catholic Archdiocese of Rabat in Morocco, Archbishop Jude Thaddeus Ruwa'ichi of Tanzania's Catholic Archdiocese of Dar es Salaam, and Bishop Tulani Victor Mbuyisa of South Africa's Catholic Diocese of Kokstad. The others appointed to the Vatican Dicastery, headed by Sister Simona Brambilla, are Bishop Tesfaye Tadesse Gebreselassie, the Auxiliary Bishop of Ethiopia's Catholic Archdiocese of Addis Ababa, and Father Stanley Lubungo, the Zambian-born Superior General of the Society of Missionaries of Africa, or the White Fathers. 58-year-old Father Stanley Lubungo was born in Zambia's Ndola Catholic Archdiocese in June 1967. He made his perpetual profession as a white father in the French town of Toulouse in December 1996 and was ordained a priest in his native country Zambia in August 1997. He worked as a missionary in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, and after further studies in Rome and Dublin in Ireland, he was appointed as a formator in Abidjan in Ivory Coast. Father Lubungo had just completed studies in dogmatic theology in Paris when he was appointed Provincial of Southern Africa in July 2015. He was elected Superior General of the White Fathers during the 2016 General Chapter. At the end of his first term, he was re-elected in 2022. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
And I'm Father Paul Samasumo. The Zambian government's Attorney General, Mr. Mulilo Kabesha, State Council, this week filed an urgent legal application in the Gauteng Division of the High Court in Pretoria, South Africa. The Zambian government seeks to stop the former president, Dr. Edgar Chagwa Lungu's family, from burying him in South Africa instead of Zambia. The Zambian government contends that the late Dr. Lungu was no ordinary citizen, and the burial of a former president is a matter of national interest that should follow state and military protocols as stipulated by Zambian law. The late President Lungu, who led Zambia from 2015 to 2021, died earlier this month in South Africa, where he was receiving treatment for an undisclosed illness. The Lungu family, with their lawyer, have become embroiled in a wrangle with the state of Zambia over the former president's funeral arrangements, as well as where he should be buried. South African media report that the Pretoria court has since suspended the Wednesday burial and asked the Zambian government to make its submissions on 3rd July. The family of Dr. Lungu is also expected to respond on 4th July, and the ruling has been set for 18th July 2025. The Star Online of Kenya has said that at least one person has been shot dead and several others injured on Wednesday, after a group of protesting Kenyan youth tried to storm the Matu police station in Machakos. Elsewhere in Kenya, Associated Press reports that at least 10 people were hospitalized with gunshot wounds during the Wednesday's countrywide demonstrations organized by Kenyan youth. Kenya's Gen Z were marking the one-year anniversary of the 2024 deadly protests. As young people took to the streets, police responded with tear gas and water cannons to disperse protesters in the capital, Nairobi. Business and traffic in the central business district was brought to a standstill. The United Nations says investigations into suspected human rights violations and war crimes in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo cannot proceed because of a funding crisis. According to Reuters, the Rwandan-backed M23 rebels, the Congolese army, and members of allied militia fighting in the region have all committed human rights abuses and atrocities. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Health and Healing. The international community will mark the International Day of Deafblindness on Friday, June 27th, with the theme Cultivating Leadership, Empowering Individuals with Deafblindness to Lead, Mentor, and Thrive. The theme highlights the importance of developing leadership skills among individuals with deafblindness, enabling them to take on roles of influence and advocacy, and creating a more inclusive society where people with deafblindness can reach their full potential. The purpose of the day is to raise awareness and to promote inclusion for people with deafblindness. Deafblindness is a rare condition in which a person suffers a combination of sight and hearing loss that affects his or her ability to communicate, to access information, and to interact with other people. Deafblindness can develop from birth, especially when a child is born prematurely before 37 weeks of pregnancy. When a mother develops complications during childbirth, when the fetus is infected with measles in the mother's womb, when the fetus inherits genetic conditions from the parents, such as Down syndrome, when the fetus develops a problem of the brain and nervous system known as cerebral palsy that mainly affects movement and coordination, and when a mother consumes excessive alcohol during pregnancy. Deafblindness can also develop later in childhood and during adulthood, in which case it is known as acquired deafblindness. According to health specialists, a person with acquired deafblindness may be born without hearing or sight loss, but loses part or both senses later. Factors that cause this include advanced age, degeneration of the muscles of the eyes, which causes cataracts and damage to the optic nerve, which connects the eye to the brain, causing a condition known as glaucoma, as well as high blood sugar levels in the blood that damage the back of the eye, commonly known as the retina. Similarly, damage to the brain caused by a stroke, severe head injury, inflammation, and by diseases such as meningitis may lead to deaf blindness. Although deaf blindness is not curable, specialists recommend that since the condition has a significant impact on the ability of the patient to access information and to interact with other people, it is important for children with the condition to be identified early in life when the brain is most sensitive to learning and begin receiving appropriate interventions as infants and toddlers. It is important also that families and educators have access to training and support with regard to the assessment and education of infants, children, and youth who are deafblind. And lastly, there is a growing concern over the economic impact of non-communicable diseases, also known as NDCs, are having on patients and their families, especially the poor. Dr. Rachel Nugent is a health economics researcher based in London. She and her team carried out a study in different parts of the world and discovered the following.
NCDs are diseases and illnesses that people get and that they live with for a long time in general. That might be heart disease, hypertension, cancers, and diabetes. Those are the big ones. They affect people for a long time. That's why we call them chronic. What makes them drive poverty is that people have to access medical care to handle these diseases once they have experienced them, and they have to continually access medical care. And if there isn't adequate insurance or other ways that third parties can help pay for that medical care, it creates a huge and continuing burden. People have to keep on paying, at least in part, for their medical care. In the lower and low middle income countries, the vast majority of people pay for the vast majority of their health care out of pocket. Now, many of the non-communicable diseases are behavioral, some of them environmental. And in both of those situations, very often it's poorer people that are more exposed. And that's very true for the environmental exposures. Those who are most exposed to poor air quality, for instance, are women and children cooking over poor stoves with biomass fuels that create a lot of particulate and other contaminants. And even in cities, those who are least able to protect themselves and that experience those exposures in combination with other health exposures that may make them more vulnerable are the poor.
Dr. Nugent told reporters recently that many non-communicable diseases are caused by what we eat, drink, and inhale. To reduce the number of people who develop these diseases, governments must make the right interventions.
The first and most important thing for countries to do is screening people. We're not detecting early stage disease. We need to do that in order to identify when people have these conditions at an earlier stage. A person can live a long, healthy, and happy life with high blood pressure if they've been detected and diagnosed and have access to the cheap antihypertensives that are available and economic tools, taxes, and subsidies. People respond to prices. They respond to how much things are going to cost. Using taxes to make bad foods and beverages more expensive and subsidizing healthier foods and beverages to become cheaper.
Dr. Rachel Nugent, a health economics researcher. And that was Health and Healing for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime. Yari yedi sa no muli sa uli sa mazima tima. Yari yenye sa no munye sa unye sa mazima bambi.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, welcome to today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to update you on the events of the ongoing Jubilee Year of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and it's my pleasure walking this path with you. Talking about walking the path of hope together, it is our bounden duty to carry one another along, no matter our level or qualification, allowing our achievements and positions in life reflect hope and inspire hope in others, especially in areas of leadership. For this reason, the Church mapped out the 21st and 22nd of June 2025 for the celebration of the Jubilee for Governments, aimed at fostering dialogue and collaboration among global leaders in order to inspire governments worldwide to embrace principles of justice, peace, sustainable development, promoting of the Church's values, commitments for the common good, fostering unity and embracing justice. In attendance to the event, we are representatives from 68 countries all over the world, including senators, mayors, regional councillors and representatives, as well as institutions such as embassies to the Holy See, international parliaments, autonomous provinces, and so many others. The event, which began on Saturday, 21st June 2025, was held in a spirit of dialogue, responsibility and fraternity, as the Holy Father Pope Leo XIV had an audience with the participants in the morning hours of the same day. Addressing the group, the Holy Father welcomed all present, offering them warm greetings. Pope Leo said that politics has rightly been defined as the highest form of charity, and considering the service that political life is supposed to render to the society for the common good, it can be seen as an act of Christian love, not just a theory, but a concrete sign and witness of God's concern for the good of our human family. The Holy Father went ahead to list out three considerations that he highlighted to be very important in working as a representative of the masses in politics and in governments. First is promoting and protecting the good of the community. This, he noted, concerns the responsibility to promote and protect the interests and the good of the community by defending the vulnerable and the marginalized. For example, promoting equal distribution of resources among all, both the rich and the poor, which can offer effective service to peace and harmony, domestically and internationally. Second is religious freedom and interreligious dialogue. According to the Holy Father, political life can achieve much by encouraging conditions for authentic religious freedom and constructive encounters between different religious communities, because belief in God with the positive values that derives from it is an immense source of goodness and truth for the lives of individuals and communities, hence aiding peaceful living between one religion and the other. Thirdly, Pope Leo talked about natural law as essential reference point. According to him, natural law constitutes the compass by which we take our bearing in legislating and acting with regards to delicate and pressing issues concerning life. He went ahead to speak on the challenge of artificial intelligence, a major challenge which, instead of being of great help to the society, ends up influencing the society negatively. Hence, he urged the leaders to see that AI, that is artificial intelligence, serves to uplift humanity and not to enslave it. In conclusion, the Holy Father advised the participants and legislators all over the world to follow the example of Saint Thomas More, an English saint and the patron saint of political leaders, who was a faithful man in his civic responsibilities, a perfect servant of the state, who viewed politics not as a profession, but as a mission for the spread of truth and goodness, especially in service to the poor and the marginalized, leading to his sacrificing his life rather than betraying the truth, hence becoming a martyr for freedom. In conclusion, the Holy Father prayed that the examples Saint Thomas More laid down for us may be a source of inspiration and guidance to everyone present, especially those in decision-making positions. After the event, pilgrimages were made to the Holy Dove St. Peter's Basilica, Vatican City, by the participants. The Jubilee for Governments came to a conclusion the following day, Sunday, 22nd June 2025, with the Holy Mass of a Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, presided over by Pope Leo XIV at the Lateran Basilica of St. John, after which there was a Eucharistic procession from the Lateran Basilica of St. John to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Rome. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. I hope to meet you once again at the same time, same station, next week. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, let the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. We shall be back with you again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.